No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this February 8th, 2016. With all the big game brouhaha and the Republican Saturday Night Smackdown starring Chris Christie in the role of Donald Trump, you may have missed a thing or two that history will file under action, not words. The U.S. and its allies conducting 17 airstrikes on targets of the so-called Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. These strikes coming shortly after the Afghan Air Force claims to have hit ISIS-related targets in eastern Afghanistan. Meanwhile, ISIS may be looking for friendlier territory from which to conduct operations. Last week, while no one was looking, the New York Times published a piece saying that President Obama's advisors and virtually all of the departments and agencies with a stake in foreign policy are trying to persuade the commander-in-chief to send special forces to Libya, where the terrorist group would very much like to fill a political vacuum, with ISIS currently reported to be operating in close to a dozen countries right now. What is or should be the next step? But wait, there's more. With North Korea back to flinging missiles skyward in hopes of showing the world who's boss, you heard about that this weekend, right? Should ISIS remain top of the security agenda? William Inboden considers these sorts of matters. He is a professor at the LBJ School, executive director of the Clement Center for National Security at the University of Texas at Austin, and he served as senior director for strategic planning on the National Security Council at the White House. Good to have you back in the Standard Studios.
Thank you, David. Good to be with you.
So let's begin at the beginning. What has the president's strategy been for dealing with ISIS thus far? How would you conceptualize it or explain it?
Well, one of the criticisms one has heard of President Obama is that he hasn't had much of a strategy. We're hearing that from some of his former officials like Secretary of Defense Bob Gates, Deputy CIA Director Michael Morell. These have all left the Obama administration in recent years. What I do see President Obama's been trying to do is, I think, manage the problem. He clearly knows that ISIS is a threat. He does not want them to expand anymore. That's why we've been seeing these campaign of airstrikes and limited ground forces in Iraq and Syria. But he's torn between wanting to reduce the ISIS threat and yet also not escalate America's involvement in more wars across the broader Middle East. And those are difficult impulses to reconcile.
I guess so. I mean, you're talking about if, in fact, he accepts his advisor's suggestions here vis-a-vis Libya, it looks like you'd be opening up a new front, no?
Yeah, there's a real irony here. I mean, President Obama came into office in 2009 wanting to end America's wars and wanting to turn down the global war on terror and instead focus on core al-Qaeda. And now it looks like he might possibly be having America involved in three wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq, Syria, and then possibly in Libya with a new global terrorist threat. So it's an interesting case study in the burdens of presidential leadership and the differences between intentions and then the hand the real world deals you.
As everyone knows, this is his last year in office, and one wonders whether or not that should be or will be a factor in the president's deliberations as he thinks about, you know, should he be handing something like Libya over to his successor?
Yeah, you know, setting aside any partisan considerations, I mean, every president wants to do what he or perhaps eventually she thinks is best for America. And every president is mindful of legacy, especially in the final year of a second term, and wants to hand over to his successor, you know, a better hand than he was dealt. In this case, President Obama has a tough road ahead this year because it looks now like he may be handing over to his successor, you know, three hot wars and a metastasizing and growing threat from the Islamic State, not to mention an eroded position for the United States vis-a-vis China and Russia and North Korea. So it's going to be a difficult world the next president inherits.
Well, you mentioned North Korea, and I suppose we should touch on this. Over the weekend, the North Koreans threw up an intermediate or a long-range missile. They claimed they were basically making a satellite launch, which no one really believes. It's my understanding that China has filed a formal complaint, and now there is some talk of the United States positioning some kind of missile defense system in South Korea. Does the terrorist threat remain a top priority given what's going on in Asia right now?
Yeah. I do think that the terrorist threat still needs to be the top priority because clearly ISIS has shown intention and capability of striking the United States. You know, the San Bernardino attacks were obviously, you know, smaller scale, but they've showed an intention to do that. And they're trying to develop capabilities to hurt us and Western targets in Europe even more. But that's not to minimize the North Korea threat. Presidents need to manage multiple challenges at once. But ultimately, any solution to the North Korea problem is going to run through Beijing. China may, you know, rhetorically say they don't like it when North Korea tests missiles and nuclear bombs, but China continues to prop up the North Korean regime. They've decided that the worst outcome would be the collapse of North Korea and a unified Korean peninsula. China doesn't want that. And so that's why they are still willing to provide hundreds of millions of dollars a year in energy and food and financial aid to North Korea and kind of look the other way when North Korea engages in this sort of mischief. So China's calculation is going to need to change.
William M. Bowden is a professor at the LBJ School and executive director of the Clement Center for National Security, the University of Texas at Austin, and he served as senior director for strategic planning on the National Security Council at the White House. Good to see you again, and thanks for coming in.
Okay, thank you, David.